You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K24. You can get your copy from the link in the description. It's myself, Mamuzi, alongside me as always, the one and only Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how you been, brother?
Come on, well, you know it's all good. All good.
How was the game?
It was good. Good. Lakers, you know, got a nice win. Good road. Good home win for the Lakers, and it was a really good win. So, you know, now we are with playoff implications. That's the new word of the day, bro.
Okay. Is that playoff implications? Well, BJ, you know, you were at the Staples Center, or as they call it now, the Crypt, the Crypto. Okay. I actually received some photos of you. Some of the photographers, you were actually sitting behind a rugby star and a French rapper. And I know you have no idea. I don't know how in touch you are with French rap or French rugby.
I can't say my French hip hop is, you know, on point.
But I see you looking serious as ever, handling business. Handling business. I've seen you.
Always.
They were hitting me up saying, "Where you at, Mo?" I said, "My time's coming. My time is coming."
Yeah, you know, Mo is in the UK, you know. He's holding it down there. You know, we got both sides of the pond.
Flag. We're gonna have the whole world soon. But we're talking about playoff implications. The first team to guarantee their playoff spot this year, the Boston Celtics.
Our Boston Celtics.
Right, because we all root for them. Right. Now, the one thing that happened this weekend, BJ, is the Celtics absolutely destroyed the Golden State Warriors. And I got so many messages from people saying, I can't wait for the podcast. But unfortunately, we recorded the podcast before the game. So I wanted to take this time to talk about that game and the Boston Celtics, because that was one of the biggest beatdowns we've ever seen in an NBA game, especially between, it wasn't like they were playing the Wizards or your Pistons. They were playing a Warriors team that was 13-3 coming into that game. They've picked up all the momentum, and I get they were on a road trip, but they've been looking good. They've been looking real good. They came into the TD Garden, and the Celtics beat the brakes off of them. The game started with an interesting strategy to leave the two-time NBA All-Star Jaylen Brown, an All-NBA caliber player, wide open every time he got the ball. Now, he shoots 34% from the field, which isn't a bad percentage. Now, I understand leaving Josh Giddey wide open.
From the field or from three?
From three. Okay. I understand leaving Josh Giddey open or leaving Ben Simmons open, but leaving Jaylen Brown open is an interesting strategy. I mean, I know they made the herbs legal in Boston, but they may just be too strong right now, because Steve Kerr, Draymond Green, I don't know what they were thinking by going with that plan. And immediately, Jaylen Brown had 19 points in the first 9 minutes of the game. Celtics got out to a hot start, and they didn't take their foot off the gas one bit. BJ, watching that Celtics team exercising their demons against the very squad that came into the TD Garden to win an NBA championship, has that given you more confidence in them in terms of going on? Because you talk about how much the regular season means, and there are certain games in the regular season that just mean a little more. This was primetime ABC action. Awful TV coverage in the UK, but don't worry, we're doing a live stream on Sunday to fix that. More on that later. But do you think the Celtics now have more confidence, and do you have more confidence in their ability to win a championship?
Okay, so I'm gonna look at the standings here, because as you said, it was primetime game, check. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown, primetime player, check. Strategy, Hall of Fame coach, Steve Kerr, check. All those things, check, check, check. But here's one thing, Mo, that I can't overlook. When I look at the standings, the Golden State Warriors are currently in 10th place.
That's correct.
Okay.
However.
So the Boston Celtics should not be evaluating themselves.
However, that does not truly reflect who the Golden State Warriors are. They've had Draymond Green miss a long stretch of the season for his therapy lessons. They've had injuries all across the board. They've had a lot of players missing time. And their form over the past month, as I said before, 13-3 heading into that game, indicates a team that's a lot better than 9 or 10 in the standings.
Those are, as you said, it would imply. However, they are 10th, as is.
Mm.
So, And I know the Western Conference, in my opinion, this is my opinion now, I think there's a stronger division than the Eastern Conference.
Easily.
Okay. So when I look at that, the Golden State Warriors, the Boston Celtics, I'm not surprised what they did to the Golden State Warriors.
You're not surprised that they won, or you're not surprised that they won by the margin in which at one point they were up 40 points?
I'm not surprised by the margin, and I'm not surprised on how they beat them. The reason being is this version of the Golden State Warriors. That's not the Golden State Warriors of yesteryear. The Boston Celtics now are better at shooting threes now than the Golden State Warriors are.
Mm-hmm. Steph Curry said after the game, this is what we used to do.
Okay. Now, I didn't hear that, but I'm going to give the Golden State Warriors of yesteryear all their respect. They are what they did four championships, all the respect. However, this version of the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors, the Boston Celtics are better. They're younger than them. They shoot the three ball as a team better than them. They play faster than them. And the way that they play, talking about this, your Celtics, our Celtics,
yeah,
they can, Golden State has to worry about now, which they never had to do, about controlling the tempo of the game. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't play as fast.
It's hard to control the tempo when you're taking the ball out of the bucket every possession.
Okay. So I'm not surprised. This is a bad game. And I'm going to say this. This is the ex, you know, athlete talking now. They've been on the road for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they, if I remember correctly, I thought they had a successful road trip. I think this is
maybe one. They won a bunch of games.
Yes. So I thought this was a successful road trip. I thought they did a great job. But they ran up against the best team perhaps in the NBA right now. Now, when you start losing about 30, 40 points, I don't think they were 30, 40 points consistently better than them. However, you caught them when you're shooting well. And as you know, when you shoot the ball well from three, you're going to be tough to beat in this league.
Yeah. And the Celtics, when they shoot better than 30% from three, are pretty much unbeatable in a regular season.
Yeah, they're going to be tough to beat. So, now, if I'm the Warriors, listen, I wipe this out. I move on. I don't think Wiggins, if I remember correctly, didn't play that game.
He's only regained the team today.
Yes, yeah, rejoined. You know, he didn't play. This is one of those games. My understanding is Steph Curry before the game maybe was uncertain whether he was going to play, but he ended up playing.
No, they're shooting a whole bunch of air balls, not making a shot.
So, you know, and as I said to you, you know, what was it last week or a couple of days ago? I think this kid, Jrue Holiday, is going to anchor this team
mm-hmm.
when things get tough on the defensive end. And I'm expecting this team to do great things, talking about the Celtics. Now, the only thing I didn't see, which I wanted to see, was Porzingis. Now,
yeah, he was out injured and they still won.
Okay. But I want to see because, again, he is, I think, going to be a very big part or needs to be a very big part if they're going to have achieved their ultimate goal. And he has had some injuries in the past and well documented. But I think if they're going to win it this year, they're going to need him. So hopefully, you know, he gets back out there sooner rather than later. But that was the only thing. Other than that, I thought they were flawless. They showed everybody why they're lapping the competition right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now the pressure is on them. Can you finish the deal?
Yeah, because this means nothing if you don't win a championship. Like statistically, well, all the advanced stats, they're one of the best teams of all time. And it means nothing unless you win a chip.
I think this just means that they should win the East. You know, Jokic, until someone beats him 4 out of 7, he's still the defending champion. And he's the best player. Okay, he's the best player right now.
Mm-hmm.
Make no doubt about it. He's the best player. So, other than that, I think they have a really good chance. The West is loaded. I mean, you know, I saw OKC play last night. They had the best record in the West coming into the game. They lost. Minnesota is there. You know, it's some good teams out there. So, and of course, the Denver Nuggets. So, you know, we'll see how this plays out. But I'm looking for, at the very least, for the Celtics to come out of the Eastern Conference this year.
Do you think they have the best chance out of anyone in the West or the East to beat the Denver Nuggets, who are the reigning champions?
I'm not sure. Okay, because that's going to require Al Horford to play a substantial amount of minutes. He's the only one that has the physicality.
I was thinking about this. The matchups-wise, you're probably at an advantage if you start with Al Horford in the lineup, because then Aaron Gordon has to guard him. You can't have Michael Porter Jr. on Al Horford. Because even though
Aaron Gordon has to guard who?
Al Horford. He's way too strong for Michael Porter Jr. to guard. But you want Aaron Gordon to guard Jason Tatum. So if you started with double bigs, who's going to guard Al Horford?
Well, unless I'm missing something here, I don't think Al Horford's going to get enough touches to really impact the game offensively for through a series. I don't think he's going to shoot 10, 15 times a night.
If Michael Porter Jr. is guarding him, he might just have to.
Well, that if you did that, then you should change the offense up right now and defer the offense to Al Horford, if that's the case. Because once you start getting into the NBA MVP. Finals, once you start getting to the NBA Finals, and then all of a sudden you change your whole offensive scheme, then your offense isn't on sound principles, right? So I would say this. Listen, Al is very capable. Al has these games, right, where he'll have a 25 or 30-point game, okay? However, but I don't think that's his role.
No. Okay. But I'm just saying matchup-wise, it would be an interesting wrinkle to throw in.
Yeah, and I don't see the Celtics suddenly wanting to post up Al Horford. I just don't see that. However, coach. So
Been seeing Xavier Tillman? Oh, I've been really impressed with Xavier Tillman since he's been playing for the Celtics.
Listen, he's going to do – Xavier is another big body. He's going to play physical. Yeah, he's going to play physical. And he's a pro's pro. You got to like guys like that. He's an effort and energy guy. He gives you maximum effort. He gives you multiple, on every possession, plays tough, rebounds, so there's nothing not to like about him. I think he was an excellent pickup for them in many regards. And then when guys don't play, he steps in. So I think that was a really good pickup for them.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see the Celtics match up against the Nuggets later this week. Let me ask you this question, OBJ, as it's been a topic in the NBA community recently. Who's your MVP this season?
Jokic.
Why?
He's the best player.
We all know the best player doesn't always win the MVP award.
Okay, well, all right. In my opinion, again, this is my opinion. Winning matters. Check. Impactful. How he plays on both ends of the court. Check. And he's the most dominant player. Whenever he steps on the floor, he's the most dominant player. I don't care what game he's playing in. He has proven against everyone he's played against this year that he is the most impactful player in the game right now. That's and winning matters to me. Like, Jason Tatum has been phenomenal. But this kid, Jokic, wow. Like, he does it for me. Like, I don't have the numbers in front of me.
Does it factor in for you, though, that there have been times before the All-Star break where the Nuggets looked like they were coasting? There are some games where Jokic will just put up six shots and just kind of,
I don't think Jokic knows how to coast. I really don't. I've never been around great players or great teams where they coast. It may look like they're coasting. It may make it look easy. Like, I was watching, was it Michael Porter the other night? He was like 9 for 9 or 10 for 10.
Unbelievable,
right?
Against the Lakers.
Yeah, he made it look easy. He was like, I watched Shea Alexander the other night. I was watching him play the other night. He made it look, he had like 40 points or something. He just made it look easy. But these guys aren't coasting. They're great athletes. I think once you start playing late into June, you basically only have 8 weeks for the summer, right? Season ends in middle of June or something. So you got July, August. Then you got to get ready for the next season. Training camp starts at the end of December. End of September. So, people talk about Jokic and going back and his horses and whatever. No, I think recovery is part of your work regimen. That's what I don't think guys understand. That's what a professional understand. Like, you have to rest. Yeah, you take your rest because you know the amount of work that's necessary to perform at that level. So whatever he has to do to rest, good for him. He's found his rhythm. Where these other guys grinding every day. How are you going to grind every day and be at your best? That's impossible. You have to rest. Recovery is part of your workload, right? You got to factor that in. So I think the way the guy plays, I think he just understands that this is a marathon. This is what makes the pro game different than any other game in the world, is the length of the season, the length of the game, and more importantly, it's a grind. And he's figured out how to get through the grind of the season and still play at an elite level. So that to me is why I respect his game so much, is because he's figured it out. And that's why this is what makes the NBA game, to me, the best version of basketball in all the other versions, because of the length and the physicality and the mental grind that it takes to play an entire season and be able to perform in the playoffs. I think it's an amazing game, and he's a testament to how to get it done.
What would Jason Tatum have to do to enter the MVP conversation? Because he is the best player on the best
team.
Just
keep winning. It's real simple. Just keep winning. Like, JT's right there. Why wouldn't he not be in the conversation this year? He's there.
But what would it take for him to actually go and win it?
Well, you gotta keep playing. Listen, you gotta put up phenomenal, besides doing the obvious, which is having your team in position to win at the very top of the league. You just gotta keep putting up individual stats and keep showing up. So listen, he's right there. Why wouldn't he be in the conversation this year? Jokic is just having another Jokic-like year. I can't even say it's an amazing year, because now we've come to expect that from him. Okay? He has figured this out. And I think JT has the ability to do the same. He has the ability. And you can see how impactful he is on both sides of the ball.
I think people forget about how good he is defensively now. I think that's
okay, but I don't think the people in the league have forgot about that.
Oh no,
but yeah. Well, I don't think people forgot. There's a reason they have the best record in the league. Make no doubt about it. And he's the best player with the best record on the best team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anyone's forgot about it. I think now it's just a matter of him. If there's anything else to do, is to seal the deal now. He's been to the conference finals a few times now. He's been to the NBA finals.
Once.
Okay. Now it's time. It's time now. Okay. He's been there. So he knows what it's like. He's been there. He's young enough. Now he's entering into his prime. And now let's get it done. So I think he's ready. I think he's ready for the challenge.
What's the biggest flaw that the Celtics have that would really stop them?
Depth.
Even with adding Tillman and the way that their bench guys have all been playing.
Tillman feels a need for them. He doesn't play their brand of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The way they play, they shoot threes. I've heard Mo complain on air and off air of how many threes they shoot. The last time I checked, Tillman is not a three-point shooter.
He hit one the other day, though. I jumped out of my seat. He hit one in garbage time.
Okay, yes. But if we're depending on him to shoot threes, we're in trouble, okay? All right? They recognize, when I say they, the Celtics recognize, they're going to need big, strong, athletic bodies to defend against somebody, right? That somebody is Joel Embiid, if they see him. Al has done an incredible, yes. And more than likely, you're going to see a big body come out of the Western Conference.
So do you think the Celtics or the Denver Nuggets have better depth?
It's a toss-up. I don't know. Because what I know about the Denver Nuggets, their young guys are getting a good amount of reps playing with their great players. I can't say that about the Celtics.
And who told you that at the very start? Remember, I made a video in the first week of the season about the young guys no one's heard about on the Nuggets.
Yeah, but they got to get it done. Like, because they lost two very good players. Like, Bruce Brown.
Yeah, we say this every episode, right? Yeah, we say this every episode. But I believe in the young guys, especially Payton Watson. Do you see that block he had against the Lakers?
Okay, again, you got to do it when the lights are the brightest. I'm not worried about something in March, early March, or whenever it is.
We'll see.
Do it in June. Do it in June, and then you can catch my attention. Because that's where you get paid. That's why you get paid the big bucks. So you gotta. But I'm not taking it away. I think those young guys. I think they're being groomed and being prepared for the moment. Mm-hmm. And that I will give them. I'll give Coach Malone that. Where I think they've done a better job than the Celtics of getting their young guys knowing what they can and can't do, because they clearly know them better than you and I. We're not there every day.
Yeah.
But at least those guys are getting reps.
All right, let's talk about a couple other teams in the Western Conference. The Minnesota Timberwolves have the number one defense in the NBA, and they will say defense wins championships. And they lead the second place team by 2.2 net points. Only three teams since 2000 have held a lead by the same margin or more: the 2008 Celtics, the 2016 Spurs, and the 2020 Bucks. Do you think that defense from the Timberwolves is enough for them to go on, maybe get to the finals, maybe even win everything?
Well, you know, I love defense, and I love what Rudy Gobert brings to the defensive end. Okay. However, the way they defend, I'm not sure it translates to all of these numbers.
Break it down for us.
Okay. What do I mean by that? They not only have one big guy, they got two big guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've seen that Rudy Gobert has a glaring weakness in his defensive presence. Now, he is, in my opinion, he's one of the better, if not, well, you can't say the best now because Wimby is here. He's one of the best in the league at defending the basket.
Mm-hmm.
However, he has a glaring weakness in this game, is that he cannot switch when the other teams go small.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've seen this in Utah against the in multiple series. Teams will go small versus Rudy Gobert, and suddenly now what becomes a strength now becomes a liability. And it's not like Karl Anthony Towns is a guy who can switch when another team goes small. Now, offensively, he can play in that game because he can shoot it. And he has a little post-up game. However, that's not Rudy's strength. So as much as I want to look at the numbers and all those things, I know there's a weakness that you can go to here, which is going to cause some problems for them when the other teams begin to exploit and explore the matchups. Because the playoffs is all about the matchups. And once you find out something that can work, then you're going to exploit that. And one of the things I know when you play against Rudy Gobert, it's going to be screen roll. Guard, big screen roll. Because Rudy Gobert, if he switches that, advantage offensive player. If he doubles that, advantage offensive player. And if he plays what's called drop coverage, meaning he will rim protect, that means that team knows in the fourth quarter they can get a good shot for the entire fourth quarter. So this is a glaring weakness that the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to have to come up with. Maybe they go zone. Maybe they counter that however they counter that. I don't know how they're going to counter it, but they know this. And it's going to be fascinating to watch how they're going to make sure that another team isn't able to exploit it. So we'll see how it plays out. But I'm not concerned about the numbers. I'm concerned about the matchups, because when they made that trade initially, they got a lot of criticism up there in Minnesota. And it's turned out to work out for them, okay? And give the coaches and staff credit for that. Give those players credit for that. But more importantly, you know, the players went out there and executed it. So we'll see how it plays out. Maybe they get the right matchup.
You want to know a crazy stat? The Timberwolves have now gone 9+ quarters. That's 114 minutes and 8 seconds without a single fast break point. And you'd think with the best defense in the NBA, that's creating looks on a fast break. Is this something to be concerned about, or is this good for them in a way that they can get half court reps because we know the game will slow down in the playoffs?
The game will slow down, but what we know is what. That's why you always got to be careful with stats, because the stats only tell you what they want. The stats only tell you what you want them to say, but you got to look at the whole stats. If that is the case, then a glaring thing for me is how many uncontested shots that you are able to get, because we know an uncontested shot is shooting. You're shooting that at a higher percentage than a contested shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you have, if you get the best teams all have the same philosophy. That's why I love it when people say, oh, the game has changed. You know, those are the old school guys. No, it's not. It's the same school. Your best offense is your defense. Because if you get stops on the other end, you have an opportunity to play what I call advantage basketball. 4 versus 3, 3 versus 2, 2 versus 1. The more uncontested shots you can get, the higher percentage you can shoot. You'll shoot a higher percentage of an uncontested three than a contested shot from three. That's a fact. So the fact that they are not getting in transition, that's a major concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know that if I can play a game and my defense can be set for a majority of the time, I'm probably going to win that game. So that's a major problem. When you read that stat off, it's saying, oh, wow, this team doesn't get out in transition. That means they probably don't create a lot of turnovers, which means they're just relying on a lot of one-on-one or great individual play. Oh, well, they have a player who's capable, but I'm going to load up on that player during the playoffs. And that player is Anthony Davis. I mean, Anthony Edwards. Sorry.
I was going to say.
Anthony. Yeah. I just saw Anthony Davis last night. So now, and we know that teams are capable in the playoffs of loading up when they have time to prepare for a great player. So that's a major concern for me. That's a major red flag for me, actually, that they're not getting out in transition, especially if they have the number one defensive rated team, you know, via these analytics.
Yeah. Well, you saw the OKC up close and personal last night. They're contending for the number one seed. They're also contending for two lottery picks, thanks to the Utah Jazz and the Houston Rockets. From what you've seen of OKC so far, how far do you anticipate them going when we get to the postseason?
You know, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this about, after seeing them play last night, is I'm going to say this about them. They're a very inexperienced group.
Absolutely. They're young. They're one of the youngest teams in the NBA. So the fact that they're even at the top end of the conference is crazy.
Yeah. So I'm going to say this. They may, you know, at the beginning of the game last night, I was like, God, this is the best team in the Western Conference. But they're also one of the youngest teams, and not only the Western Conference, in the entire league. But what an accomplishment for this team to be 60 games or so into the season and already have probably a secured place in the playoffs.
Second youngest team in the NBA. I don't think any of their starting five is over 25 years old, right? I don't think Shea's 25 yet.
So now I'm looking at this team going, okay, they may have the number one seed, but then they could have lost. You could have saw a preview of 1 versus 8 last night and the Lakers won that game.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was looking at. And I'm saying the Lakers are probably more prepared to play the brand of basketball that you'll see in the playoffs than the number one seed. That's a fact. So I'm going to say this. I'm not sure what to expect from this team. And I think it is because they don't have any experience. So I can't say, do I expect Chet Holmgren to outplay Anthony Davis in a 7-game series? The answer is no. Do I expect him to play and, you know, and show me some highlights? Yeah, let me see what you got. I don't know how he's going to respond when the lights are bright. This is his first time going around, right? Mm-hmm. So what am I expecting from them? I'm expecting them to enjoy this experience. They could easily get to the conference finals, or this team could easily lose in the first round. Why? Because you don't know how this team is going to respond. And I don't think this team was built at the beginning of the season to say, hey, we're going to be 60 games in and we'll be competing for the top seed in the Western Conference. I don't even think their president, Sam Presti, thought that they were going to be in this position. I don't think anybody did. Maybe the Thunder faithful, but I didn't expect to be talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder as the number one seed 60 games into the season.
Yeah, no one did.
So we'll see. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not putting any expectations on it because I don't think they have any expectations for themselves. I think that what they wanted to do, I bet you, and I don't know this, but I'm willing to bet you this is probably their goal. Let's make the playoffs this year.
Yep.
And not be in the play-in.
Yep.
Last year we were in the play-in and we saw how that ended. Let's make it so where we can be in the playoffs. So to me, check for them. Now, suddenly, as I like to say, and as we all like to say, you're going to really find out about your team once the playoffs begin.
Mm-hmm.
Begins. So let's find out about them once the playoffs begins, and then we can make the assessment. And, you know, if they play the Lakers in a 7-game series, 1-8 right now, I'm sure there will be a lot of people who say the Lakers are going to win that series.
Yeah. No, I can see it. I suspect okay. After last night.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Well, we're going to see as the season continues to tick on. We got about a month and a week left until the play-in begins.
Okay.
We're going to be here. And the exciting news for you guys is on Sunday, you can watch the Milwaukee Bucks versus LA Clippers.
Live. Doc Rivers.
Rivers. We're going to have a conversation about that because they've been putting up some impressive performances. Myself, BJ, and Scott Perry on Sunday afternoon, UK time. I think it's a 7 p.m. tip. For the, I don't know, 7 p.m.? 8 p.m.? I don't know. We'll check it out. We'll find out. But we're going to be there breaking down the game live and direct through a place called Playback. It's an app. It's a website. You go on there. You link your NBA League Pass to it. And you can watch the game live on the screen with us also on the screen or just audio commentating. And if you don't have NBA League Pass, don't worry, because you can put us on and the scoreboard will just show up whilst we commentate and give our analysis while you watch the game on TV or wherever you watch it. So make sure you tap in with us, whether you have NBA League Pass or not. NBA didn't give me a discount to give you guys for League Pass, so we'll work on that in the future. You know, I get no commissions off that. So if you don't have League Pass, you can just put the Playback on one tab, put the game on another tab, or put the game on a TV. Either way, you can rock with us because I don't know who's commentating that game, but they ain't doing it like us, with all due respect. So we're going to be there on Sunday, but before then, we've got a whole lot of podcasts to get through for the week. We'll be back tomorrow with more. So until next time, make sure you subscribe across YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And most importantly, get buckets.